This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Covered in Pet Hair, a boozy show for pet lovers on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Isabel Alvarez-Arada, and today I have the pleasure of having a drink and a chat with a pet lover that's going to help us style in her amazing eyewear. I will tell you all about her and introduce you as soon as we come back from these messages from our sponsors. Hi, I'm Isabel Alvarez-Arada, the host of Covered in Pet Hair. You know the expression, cats have nine lives? Well, what if you could give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying and neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Covered in Pet Hair. I'm your host, Isabel Alvarez-Arada, and today I have the pleasure of having a drink and a chat with a pet parent, an entrepreneur. She's a former professional dancer, a wine snob, and a boxed wine drinker. She's a cocktail connoisseur, a coffee lover, a tea drinker, and a world traveler. She's married to Sid, who was a guest on the show promoting Booze for Paws. If you did not check out that episode, please do. He is amazing, and his spirits are helping rescues in California right now. I can't wait to see them expand. She is cat mom to Pookins, LB, Linus, George, and Franklin. She's dog mom to Freddie and Ubby. She's founder of Specs Eyewear Incorporated, an online eyewear shop that donates 100% of their profits to animal welfare organizations. Christy Chond, welcome. It's so good to see you and finally have you on the show, Christy.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here today. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh my goodness. We have been meaning to do this for a long time. I'm so happy because I have to get new glasses and I'm going to do that with Specs as soon as I have my new prescription this year. I am in my early 40s. Heading toward my mid-40s, and the eyes are changing very quickly. So it is very, very good to know that I have an expert in eyewear, like right at my fingertips and right online. And I love your brand. We're going to talk all about it. But before we get into it, let's talk about our drinking game today. So anybody at home participating in our drinking game today, anytime you hear this word,
the secret word is bridge.
Take a drink of whatever you're enjoying, but please be over 21 to partake. Never drink and drive. Always drink responsibly and don't trip over anything if you don't have your glasses on, okay? Be very cautious. Those of us heading to our mid to late 40s need to be extra careful because this has just come out of nowhere for me. I mean, I don't know if that's the experience for all 40-some-year-olds, but this that I'm doing all the time, like kind of moving my phone closer and further away, I like read stuff and I can't figure out what's in it. So I am so excited to talk about this. And those of you who are trying to learn about pets today, you're probably not going to learn anything about pets today because I'm going to dig in all eyewear stuff today. It's lifestyle day at Covered in Pet Hair. So, okay, Christy, what are you drinking today? Are you drinking anything perhaps to do with Booze for Paws?
I sure am. I am drinking a little rye action.
Whoa.
From my husband's line, which is my favorite of the five spirits. And I put it in this little tiny glass because it makes it look like I'm drinking a lot more. Because I noticed when I put it in like a larger glass, I'm like, that's it. And then it goes a lot faster. But if I put it in this tiny glass and take sips, it goes slower.
Yes, smart. Weirdly. No, smart, smart. We don't want to drink rye like it's water. Definitely not.
No.
At least I couldn't.
It's very easy for me to do because it's so good.
Yes. Okay. So one thing I will add that both Sid and Christy these businesses that they've created, Booze for Paws and Specs Eyewear, they donate 100% of their profits to animal welfare. So they are doing this out of the kindness of their heart, but they also have a huge dedication to quality. So I am so happy that you brought something from the line from Booze for Paws, because I have not yet tried it. I want to try it. It's not available near me. We have to talk about how do I get my hands on that. But in the meantime, I'm just keeping it really cash today. I'm having a Corona Tropical Punch. It is something that was left over from my kid's birthday party when we had adult beverages at the park. So this is in my fridge. It's got to be consumed. And I figured today was a good day to do it. It is passion fruit flavor, and it's actually quite good. But you know what I could see this being used as? Kind of like a mixer with like some vodka, maybe some muddled fruit, something to make it a little bit stronger because it's a little sweet. And Chios, thank you for being on the show. I'm so happy to finally meet you in somewhat person.
You. Thank you. Me too. Same. See, tiny sip. Otherwise, we're going to be in trouble.
Yes, exactly. And I have to, like I told you before we hit record, I have to go volunteer at my kid's school. So that's why we're keeping it light today.
Okay. Smart.
So I have been wearing glasses since I was 14 years old, or refusing to wear glasses since I was 14 years old. Because when I was 14 years old, for the younger listeners and viewers, glasses were not what they are today. Like, they were not cute. They were not fun. They were heavy, uncomfortable, functional, not stylish at all. So I refused to wear them for most of my life. Now, I can't wear contacts as long as I used to because I just can't tolerate it. So now I need a really cute pair of glasses. Obviously, you have an adorable pair of glasses on right now. We're going to talk about your line specifically in the second part of the show. But I want for us to kind of start universal, start big, and then kind of narrow it down. So I'm going to invite you to play a game with me called Styled by Specs.
Okay.
And I'm going to name some random parts of our person. And you're going to tell me if they play any role in the decision to buy a certain type of frame, a certain color frame, what looks good, what works with this. It doesn't matter at all. Are you ready to play?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, let's do it. Do your eyebrows matter when you're choosing a frame?
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's funny. Some people, I tend to agree with this, think that the eyebrows should always be visible from above the frame. So, but I have seen this trend of a lot of people wearing glasses that are much larger on their face, that their eyebrows are like underneath.
Covered.
Or covered. Yeah. Which I also just think it's a little bit odd. I think proportionally, it's helpful. And I think it just makes more sense when you look at a human, like the eyebrows are on top. So if I have glasses here that are supposed to be surrounding my eye so that I can see better, I would feel like your eyebrows should be then on top of that to properly like show emotion.
Yes, so, exactly.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the eyebrows definitely being visible on top of the frame.
Okay, cool. I agree with you. I spend a lot of money on my eyebrows. I like my eyebrows, so I want to show them. I don't want to cover them. I don't want them disguised by some frame. Okay, skin tone. Does that make any kind of a difference on maybe the color of the frame you choose?
Yeah, absolutely. So color, and whether you wear a metal frame or an acetate or plastic type frame, it's the same thing as, you know, jewelry. So like if you tend to prefer gold tones, you're going to want to go with more of a gold frame as well, as opposed to a silver frame if you like metal. And if you like more of an acetate, of course you want to think about your skin color, your hair color. Sorry if that's one of the questions you're going to ask.
No, that's fine.
You want to find something it's the same as, you know, if you wear eyeshadow or lipstick, you want to find something that's complementary to you. Or again, I'm seeing trends where people are finding something that is more clashing with them because they also wear bright clothes and they want to be seen as more of like a funky type. So they're going to wear something that doesn't necessarily match or fit their skin tone as well as it possibly could.
To make a statement, but obviously the vast majority of us kind of want the glasses to blend into what we're wearing and doing with our look, not necessarily be like the focal point. At least that's, for me, how I feel about glasses.
And I think that as you're saying, the trends have changed over time and how we view our eyewear has changed over time. I think that's one of the things that people are like, well, if I'm going to wear glasses, I might as well make a statement with them. So Whether that is color or style or chunk, you know, you see these glasses now that I'm like, do those weigh 8 pounds on your face? Like, they're so chunky and heavy. I don't understand. But I think people are using that as more of a fashion statement than previously.
Yes. Okay. Perfect. How about your nose size?
Absolutely. So that can come into play with the bridge size. So when you are looking at sizing of a frame, there's usually three different numbers that are listed inside of the frame. And the second of those numbers is the bridge size. And so if you want to think about what's going to fit best on your actual bridge. So if you have a wider bridge, you're going to need that space between the lenses to be wider. If you get too small of a bridge width, the frame's going to sit up higher on your face, which then gives you less real estate for where you can see out of. So you want your eye to be pretty much centered in the lens. So it's really important to make sure that bridge width is appropriate.
Okay, cool. You know what's interesting? I've gotten my eye checked a million times. I have purchased glasses a million times and nobody has ever measured my bridge.
Me neither. And same thing. I've had a ton of pairs of glasses as well, and I've never had any of this measured either. I've learned this all on my own and then try and help educate people with it.
How frustrating. Okay, how about chin? Your chin angles, your chin shape, does that play any role?
Yeah, I think just greater, maybe your entire face shape. So, okay. Which I have a hard time with because I look at are you a rectangle or a heart or a diamond or all these different things? And I look and I'm like, I really don't know.
But it's hard.
It is hard, but there was some YouTube video that I watched one time that was talking about that it's actually whether, if this is wider than this and, if this is longer than this, that kind of stuff that, again, can play into proportions. So if you have a longer face, sometimes you don't want, or you want to make sure that you have a little bit of more of a greater lens height. So it's not this little tiny frame on your longer face, or I have more width here. So if I wear something that's more rectangular, it widens me here. So doing something that has a little bit more of a round, even though this isn't necessarily round, but it's rounder than a square or rectangle. So it helps me not be quite as wide. So yeah, so face shape in general can play a big role in choosing a frame.
Okay, perfect. How about hair length or lack of hair entirely, like people who have no hair?
Yeah. Absolutely. This comes into play, I think, a lot with color. So if you have darker hair, I have somewhat darker hair that at least I think is complementary to my frame color right now. If you don't have hair, then you have more of your skin showing. So again, then you need to be thinking about, are you trying to be complementary to your skin tone or not? And then if you have longer hair, you want to think about, even little things like, are you one of those people that puts your glasses in up here, which you're supposed to not really do. But so maybe if you do that, you shouldn't get nose pads because you're going to always have that tangle in your, if you're trying to get your glasses out of your hair, they get tangled up in your nose pads. So little things like that can be important when you're thinking about hair as well.
That is so smart. Okay, very practical tip there. How about your height and your weight? Maybe you're feeling your face is a little fuller than usual. Is there any slimming shape that we should consider?
Yeah, if you have more of a round face, the word is to stay more away from round shapes of your frame as well.
Okay.
So if you have a rounder jawline or face shape, whether that's from weight or genetics, whatever, then it's usually said that maybe go with more of a cat eye to bring the look up in the face a little bit more, or a rectangular shape as well that will, again, bring the eye higher as opposed to coming down on the face at all, if that's something that you would like to bring anyone you come in contact with away from your jawline and you want to bring it up. Those are kind of two ways to do that.
Okay, and how about very tall people? Very tall people, are they going to consider the same kind of frame based on all this that we've talked about, or are there any considerations for the very tall?
I would say probably the same as thinking about if you're very tall, then is your face also very tall? So thinking about that lens height, I think would be important at that point.
Yes,
as well.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking if I'm always I'm forced to kind of look up or have less up here, then that might make it hard for me to see. Okay.
Oh, you know what? With tall people too, the temple length is going to be important. Sorry, making sure that the temple length isn't too long, because if you're really tall, you're probably going to be looking down at people all day long, and you want your glasses to be like sliding down off your face the entire day. So you'll make sure that this fits well behind your ears.
Oh my goodness. That's so funny, because I always thought that it fell because it wasn't tight enough around the bridge, but it's really how long it is.
Yeah, it can be a combination of both. Exactly. But this is definitely at play.
Oh my gosh, so funny. Okay, last but certainly not least, how thick those lenses are, does that affect the frame choice? Because I am quite visually impaired. So my frames, I pay the extra to get them thinner. And even then, they're way thick.
Yeah, getting high index can be really helpful for bringing down the thickness. But if you know that you're going to have a thicker lens, it's usually smart to, one, go with a full frame, as opposed to, you know, there's a lot of like the no frames that just have the temple and the, right. the bar between. Sorry, I think that's a cat hair. There we go. You'll want to avoid that, because it's going to be really obvious from the side. So finding a frame that is fully surrounding the lens would be important. And then also staying away from those like really thin, a lot of times they're like that flexible titanium. Like we've got one like that in our collection, but the kind of thin wire frames, because again, you know, if it's too thin, the lens is going to kind of pop out on either side.
Yes.
And you're going to maybe tone that down with a full frame.
Okay. Yeah. Pet hair. Does pet hair have it play any part in it? Like if you're always covered in pet hair, maybe you want to match the frame to the pet, the color of your pet, maybe not.
Maybe not. Maybe a good tortoise, you know, that would go
with everything.
If you've got I've got a little tortie, right? Or not tortie, she's a tabby right here, that she goes well with some of my tortoiseshell glasses. So yeah, of course.
Okay, I have to ask, just out of curiosity, how many pairs of glasses do you own?
You know what? Not too many at this point. The ones that I actually have in current rotation, I've got 1, 2, 3, and 2 on the way, actually.
Okay, so that's not too many.
Right now, so not too many.
Okay, I had 2 in rotation because one of mine broke and I have to take it back to the thing. I just haven't made the time. And then one of the ones in rotation, I don't know, something's funky with it. You know, I don't know if they got the prescription wrong. I don't know what happened, but it's funky. I put on those glasses and I feel like I'm in like a fun house. I don't know. I mean, I can still see, but you know, it's not quite right. So those are also going back for a little Q&A with the optometrist. But anyway, do you have a background in eyewear? Because like eyewear, there's such a need, obviously. We all know this, especially those of us underserved in our past experiences. Where did the idea come from? What's your background? Tell me everything.
I do not have a background in eyewear until, let's say January of 2022, I kind of started getting interested in it. Before that, I was a professor at a university here in California for about 9 years. Prior to that, I was a professional dancer, choreographer. I've been in the world of dance since I was 3 and professionally since I was 15. So this is a huge leap to go into the eyewear world. And this just happened by kind of some weird chance encounters and circumstances that led me to a meeting with Bruce, who is our lens manufacturer and optician. And we had a great conversation and talked a lot about animals. And he had been working for another eyewear company that had planned to close. And he's like, I'd still like to do something. And I was like, well, I feel like I still want to do something, even though I'm not teaching anymore. What do I want to do? And decided to open an eyewear brand with Bruce and take a chance on this guy that I barely met. just take a big leap. And it mainly comes from, this is a bigger story, but like during COVID, I started walking dogs at our shelter. And it's one of those things that had been kind of on my list for years and years, you know, like, oh, I really want to volunteer, but I'm not going to say I didn't have time, because that's not a thing. It was more of like, it just didn't fit into the schedule in a way that would work. So finally during COVID, I started walking dogs, and I say this in one of the videos that we have for Specs, but it felt like that time at the shelter was more impactful and meaningful in my life than anything else I felt like I was doing besides like my life at home. And so there was something in me that was like, gosh, if I could do this full time, or if I could do something that helps animals full time, I would be really happy with that.
That and then
things kind of happened.
Cool. Okay. So do you wear glasses? Obviously, have you always worn glasses? Have you always wanted, you know, more options? Or was really this just like an opportunity presented itself and you jumped on board?
A little bit of both. I mean, I started wearing glasses. I was in grad school in 2010. There was a gap. I'm not that young. So there's a gap between undergrad and grad school for me. But I was getting like horrific headaches. And so I had to take my first visit to an eye doctor and got some reading glasses, prescription reading glasses. And then that kind of shifted to like what you were talking about. Like I suddenly need more light to see small print, and like trying to find like, how can I see this? And like my husband has this little thing that he does with his hand that his mom taught him that like somehow like lets you really focus in. We're like trying everything. I was like, okay, we need to probably get some other glasses. So I mean, I haven't been a lifelong glasses wearer by any means. It was something that like when I was little, I kind of wanted braces and I kind of wanted glasses, but I never got either. Like, which, you know, you can't complain about that, I realize.
No, you have very good genes. That is just an indication that you had excellent genes. I had both glasses and braces. So, yeah.
You were the cool kid to me.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about the organizations you partner with, the rescues that benefit from all the work that you and Bruce put into this.
Yeah. So we have a group of, I think I'm up at 18 right now. We call them our Specs Friends, and they just have to be nonprofit and US based. But the most important thing to me is that they are more on kind of that small to medium, maybe mid-size, but really just like helping their community more than anything. So not these big, like nationwide, not that there's anything wrong with giving to some of these, although I keep seeing these stories of like, you know, one of the biggest organizations that I don't have to name, I'm sure people have all seen this now, that, you know, their CEO is a millionaire and that only 2% of what they bring in actually goes out to local rescues, like that kind of stuff that makes me a little bit ill. So I wanted to avoid those bigger kind of corporations and really focus in on community-based. And I already followed a bunch of rescues because I like sharing for people. I don't have a huge social media presence personally or even with Specs, but just sharing animals. Or so I kind of started reaching out to some of these smaller rescues that I knew about. And that led me down to, you know, see how many more exist out there. I just started following, and then reaching out to ones that resonated with me somehow. And a lot of them have not responded, which is fine. They're busy helping animals. That's great. A lot of them have responded being like, you know, you're not really that big yet. Like, I don't know how much you're going to give us. So maybe later. Great. Thank you so much for talking to me. And then, like I said, we've got 18 that we do actually work with right now that I'm super proud to be a part of their mission to help animals, whether it's, we have some that really focus in on animal rescue. We have some that focus in more on veterans issues, whether it's actually like canine working dogs or human veterans or both working together. We work with a couple TNR organizations. I just try and really find things, like I said, that resonate with my heart and feel excited whenever I give, even if it's only $17 or whatever it is that we're giving from. Because we give 10% of every purchase and you get to choose which Specs Friend we donate to. So,
cool.
When I give that donation, like that's the best part of the job. That and helping people, obviously, find a perfect pair of glasses. But
which you're going to help me. We're going to do it. Okay. So I saw that you partner with Mission Meow. I love Sally. She has been on the show too. I saw that you have some really big organizations in California, like the House on Cat Hill. Is that one of them? Cat House on the Kings. That's the one.
I've
been following them for ages, and like they do so much. They have the biggest in California, I feel like. The biggest cat.
I think I believe
something
so.
Like that. Yeah. They do so much volume. On site.
Yeah, I didn't even know how big they were before I reached out to them because they're not that far from us. And Sid and I actually went out there for, they were having an open house. And we were like, let's go see this. We had just moved to Fresno. And I was like, let's go see it. So we went out there and like got a tour of the facility and it was awesome. And there's peacocks and it's right on the river. And like, there's so many cats everywhere. And like, it's the coolest place. And then I was I should see if they want to be a Specs friend. Like, I didn't even know that they were that big.
I've been following them for a really long time. And it was in researching this that I realized you were partnered with them. I saw a bunch of really great organizations. And like you said, I don't think a lot of consumers are savvy enough to know that the big, big organizations, so much of the money they raise really goes into their staffing and their marketing. And it doesn't really actually go to the cause that you think you're supporting. I worked as a group sales manager on Capitol Hill, and so many groups, these huge organizations would come to lobby, right, on the Hill in Washington, D.C. And I remember my then director of sales showing me how much each of those CEOs made. And I remember being like, wow, that's a lot of money going to the leadership. Whereas, you know, and here we are like spending money on lobbying and who's helping the homeless or who's helping the pets or who's helping everybody, the cancer patients, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm so happy you mentioned that because that's really important to know where the actual money's going. And most of us don't want to just pay somebody's yacht. That's for sure.
Yeah, without at least having like the benefits of using it.
Exactly. Like we need at least like a timeshare on the yacht if we're going to do that.
Exactly.
Well, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, I'm going to ask Christy to dive in deeper into Specs, how they do, what they do, what kind of frames we have to choose from, et cetera, et cetera. So don't go anywhere. I will be right back.
Ready for the biggest cat celebration in the world? Come to the CFA International Cat Show and Expo in Cleveland, Ohio on October 12th and 13th. The Expo is the world's grandest cat celebration, seamlessly blending pedigree cat exhibitions with feline welfare and rescue initiatives. It captivates over 10,000 feline enthusiasts each year, celebrating all cats, whether rescue or pedigreed, in a shared spirit of love and unity. Dive into cat-themed activations and enlightening educational sessions. Marvel at 1,000 non-pedigree and pedigreed cats, adoptable felines, and explore over 100 cat-themed vendors. It's an event dedicated to honoring our beloved felines and their admirers. And guess what feline influencers are coming to meet and greet? YouTube cat video sensation Aaron's Animals, as well as Nathan the Cat Lady, Lambo Leisha, Chupi, and many, many more. Gather your cat crew and do whatever it takes to head to the CFA Cat Expo. It's a whisker-wiggling, tail-twirling extravaganza you won't want to miss. Get your tickets at cfacatexpo.com. That's cfacatexpo.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Covered in Pet Hair. I'm your host, Isabel Alvarez-Arada, and today I'm having a conversation with an online friend. I consider her and Sid, her husband, online friends because I've been following them. They've been following me. I want nothing but success for both of their brands. Christy's here representing Specs Eyewear. Sid was on the show last year in 2023 representing Booze for Paws. Obviously, boozy pet lover right here, right up my alley. So we are going to dig in a little deeper into what Specs Eyewear is all about with a second game, Christy. And I'm going to invite you to play a game that I've named after one of your brains. This is called Labracadabra.
Great.
I love that frame, by the way. And I'm going to give you 1 minute on this handy dandy clock. And I just want you to tell us some of the names of your frames. Do you think you can recall some of these names?
I'll do my best.
These are some creative names for frames. I love them so much. All right. Ready to go?
Yeah.
Ready?
Let's do it. And this is no cheating.
No cheating. Three, two, one, go.
Cool cat, city cat, City Dog, Adventure Cat, the Zoomies, Hyperspeed Tail Wags, There's a Cat on My Lap, Crack of the Can. Oh my gosh. Just because it's called Fetch doesn't mean I'm going to bring the ball back. Oh my gosh, this is so hard. I know them all.
I know you do, but that's what's funny about them. They're very, very memorable. But they're
on Odd Cat, off the counter, keep going.
Off the counter made me laugh out loud.
On the catwalk, nap time, on my dad's favorite book, lounging in the perfect sunny spot, lounging in a sunny spot, playtime at the park, paw prints on the beach, I always forget this one, watching the birds on the windowsill or something like that.
There's so many. There's so many. Okay, you did a great job. Okay,
I'm gonna go.
Yes, you did an amazing job. Okay, so let me tell you some of them so that for our listeners and our viewers. Did you say Sir Barks a Lot?
No, I forgot.
That one's a good one. Odd-Eyed Cat, yeah. Vertical Space, My First Dog, Ear Floops. I think you said City Dog, but I don't think you said Dog Park. Agility Course Champ. Those are really cute, by the way. Treats Time, Tiny Snores, The Longest Whiskers. You did say There's a Cat on My Lap. Not Fat, Just Fluffy is another one. Those are really funky shaped. Cat Condo Dweller. I love Off the Counter. Off the Counter made me laugh because we say that constantly here. You did say Adventure Cat. New Box, Who This? Sounds funny. Circle Up and Plop. My dog literally just did that. Rescue Rocks, Feather Wand. Sit Down, Stay. You did say that one, I think. Oh, my God. There's so many good ones. Loud Meows. Crack of the Can. You did say that. Labracadabrador. Oh, I said it wrong. Labracadabrador. On the Catwalk. Whisker Tickles. Oh, Big Stretch. So good. Yes. These are so good. New Scratching Post Vibes. Toe Beans. Matching Collar and Leash. Couch Cuddles. Round the Block. Long Hair, Short Hair. Don't Care. Dream Patio. Adopt Don't Shop, which I know is a huge value for you all. Fancy Cat, Car Ride with the Windows Down, the Midas Paw. You have a Midas Paw Bubbles collection, which I love, by the way. And I have to ask, can a person with dark hair pull off like pink frames?
Yeah, why not?
I love it. Yes?
Why not? Yeah.
I don't know.
If you like pink, that's the thing. I mean, as far as like trends go right now too, I think that, okay, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like we're in this world of fashion right now where anything goes. Where yes. Like, I remember growing up and being like, if you were caught with like high-rise jeans for a while, like that was a problem. There were things that if you wore them, people would look at you funny. Now I feel like the things that I see, I'm like, is there anything that is not in style anymore? Because I don't even understand what people are wearing these days, myself included. I don't match at all right now. Like, but anything goes. And I think the same thing with glasses now. Like, if you like it and you think it fits your face, wear it.
No, it's true. I don't know what people, you know, what's funny. I go to Spain a lot because my sister lives there and I get the fashions there. They haven't really changed. They're very classic, right? They're very like, you know, functional jeans because they walk a lot, functional shoes, you know, and they always look great with their coats in the winter. They're very chic. Without trying to be chic. But here in El Paso, for example, I see the youths walking to school and I am like, what is that? What is that fashion? What is that? And my grandmother is in assisted living, so we'll watch TV together. And she's always commenting on the fashions of like, you know, like, especially on the Latin channels where there's a lot of skin showing. There's a lot of minimalist, I guess, outfits. You could call them minimalist because there's not a lot of it. So I agree. Like, things are a little crazy in the fashion world. I'm more classic. I like my, you know, DBF and like my, I don't know, like my like Ralph Lauren type aesthetic. So yeah. That's just me. So I want to dig into how Specs does what it does. Because you know, we all have access to online eyeglass retailers. Everybody does things a little bit differently. You do things differently, as in you don't send like try-on pairs. You also have really great price points, which I think is a huge bonus for those of us that need to have multiple eyeglasses. We have to invest in like the thinner lens and all that. So it really is important that we find something affordable. And I think you've done a great job of that. So tell us about how, just how it works and how you're different from other online retailers.
Yeah, thank you. I think what I hope makes us stand out the most is more of a personalized service. Like, it's literally just Bruce and I. Bruce handles everything. So like, if somebody writes to me or if we're on the phone or whatever, and they have a specific question about like their lenses, their vision, their prescription stuff, I can usually handle. But like a lot of the stuff, I'll be like, I'll take notes. Let me talk to Bruce, or let me connect you with Bruce. Like, we just had Bruce had a phone conversation with one of our customers the other day that was having a problem with her lenses. And we're still trying to figure out if that was a prescription issue or what it was. But so like, they have a conversation directly. So it's that actual access to the people that run the company and that actually make your lenses, that are, he's the one that is the orderer, that's the crafter, that does everything. So if there's a problem, it was his hand that did it. So, or if you want to give him a compliment on how great they are, like, it's Bruce that does it for you. So that access, I don't know of another company that does that, you know, no. At least on the online world. If you're going to a small business in person, obviously different, but we want to give you kind of that small business in-person experience and be as helpful to you or not. So like, and that's another thing that I think about when you shop online. Some people want to be like, I get orders sometimes where I'm like, who the heck is that person? Like, I've never seen that person. I don't know who that person is. They've never contacted me. I don't think they follow us on social media. How do they find us? Like, and then there's
that's
people
interesting.
That I've had like, you know, I've emailed back and forth for 3 weeks and they filled out our specs form that started off the conversation back and forth, or I've done Zoom calls and like literally are on the phone. Like, I'm like, okay, now press buy. Great. Now pick a specs friend, you know, like where you walk them through the entire process, or I can write up an invoice and send it directly. So like,
right.
We want the buying experience to feel personal and truly be personal. It's not an act. Like, Bruce and I both really love helping people. And so that's something that I think sets us the most apart.
I agree. I won't say the name, as everybody knows, like the big online retailer where they have shops now and like you can get 5 of them mailed for free, whatever. I've never ordered from there. I have gotten the frames twice. I've done this where I've gotten the frames sent to me. I chose frames randomly on what looked good on the screen. The frames arrived. I didn't love any of them. It was so impersonal that I felt like nobody cared if I ordered or didn't. So I just shipped them back. That was my experience. No, I mean, I've never lived somewhere where they had a store, or like spent enough time somewhere where they had a store. So I didn't make it a thing to go. But I feel like that in person, that does this look right? What do you recommend? I have a question about how, you know, why this is uncomfortable. I feel like that's such an important part of this process, because you might be wearing these all day. You might be wearing these, you know, all evening. You might be wearing them all day Saturday because you're too lazy to put in your contacts. So they need to be comfortable, functional, and they need to make you feel like yourself. You don't want to look in the mirror and be like, ooh, that.
Yes.
So speaking of, do you go to parties and like say like, oh, she'd be like that. These are terrible for her. She'd look better in, you know, off the counters.
I do. I've noticed that my eye for eyewear has become distracting for myself. Like, it used to be the same with, like, I can't go to dance performances anymore because I just don't enjoy myself, because it's just the whole time from like the line out front. I mean, from like, or park. I mean, like just from the very beginning to the very end is not a fun experience because I can't take my critical eye away. And now I'm starting to do the same thing. Like, my husband and I, Sid and I love watching Bollywood movies, and eyewear is huge in Bollywood right now. Like,
really?
There is, I can't even say right now, maybe it's been a while. I don't know, but like, their styles are so cool. And like, I actually ordered, these actually are from an eyewear company in India, because I was like, there's so many very, very cool frames and shapes that are being produced there. I want to be a part of that. So now I'm watching movies and I'm like, I'm already struggling because I'm not understanding the language and I'm trying to read the subtitles so fast and see the action. And then I'm distracted by the person's glasses and I'm like, babe, you got to go back. I don't know anything that happened in the last 5 minutes.
Okay. So apart from the fact that anything kind of goes, are we seeing trends for bigger? Are we going to stay with the big? Are we going to go back to the little glasses? What do you think the is to come. Because if I invest in a pair of glasses, I know that I'm going to get a new one every year because my eyesight's changing that rapidly, unfortunately. But I want it to last, right? Like, it could be like my spare. So what am I buying? Am I investing in bigger frames, smaller frames? Is there any shape that's like particularly in right now?
Okay, so this is my problem with trends too. I keep talking about trends, but that I think that you can look at every blog or magazine or whatever that's out there right now, and they're all going to say something a little bit different. So yes. I think that the things that seem to be kind of constant are color, like just being more bold with color choices.
Got it.
The cat eye seems to be back quite a bit, but also just kind of like interesting shapes, like more of like the polygon or
yeah.
Just
you have a lot of those. I was impressed with how cool your frames
shape.
Are. Yeah,
thank you. Just like something that again is a little bit more of a statement piece. But because you keep saying that with like your fashion choices, and you are saying that you want something that is more classic, then I would urge you gently to find something that is more of that classic frame for your daily wear, so that it's something right. that, you know, it's like your little black dress. It's something that you're going to always have, that's going to be in the closet, that you can wear 10 years from now and be like, I still love that dress and it still looks good. And it's still in fashion. We're good to go. So there's plenty of frames that exist like that as well that you can find. Don't feel like you have to succumb to the trends, because you're going to get them and be like, what have I done?
Yeah. No, for sure. I've never really been trendy. Like, maybe I'll try a trend once or twice, like a very mild iteration of a trend. Are the ones that you're wearing right now, which I would say are somewhat like a rounded off square, I would say, and they're dark, they look black. Are those what you would call trendy, or those are more like on the little black dress kind of classic?
And that's where I think that this could be either or. So I do, yes, you are right that these, that's why I like these. I'm going to look them over.
Yes, now please.
Looking at you. But yeah, they do have a little bit of a roundedness, which is why I like them. They also have, how can I do this? Okay. They have what's called a keyhole bridge here, oh, cool. which I also really like. So your nose sits here as opposed to sitting on the top of the bridge here.
Ooh.
And that's, I mean, like, I've got another pair right here that I think are quite dirty, but like, that's more of a, this is called a saddle bridge. So your nose actually hits all the way up there. That's just
got
personal
it.
Preference and comfort, but I actually really like the look of the keyhole bridge as well. And these ones I think are really comfortable because they have, it's not a nose pad, because it's not an adjustable nose pad, but it is a bigger piece here that fits nicely on my nose. And then the temple I really like, because this is also a little bit unique that it's like wider and then squared or thinner here. So like there's just, and it's actually not black. It's like this, there, if I can maybe get,
oh,
it's like
beautiful.
Kind of this like tigery color based in brown. It's just, it's really pretty when it hits the light. So I think that, you know, they can look classic, but if you really look at the details of the frame, they have some more contemporary detailing to them. They also have, like, you see that little like middle side on the temple. Keep going the wrong way. There we go. That piece right there that kind of just makes it like stand out a little bit from the side.
Yes.
So it's, I think that these can be a little bit classic as well as more contemporary because of some of the stylings.
You wear them very well. I have one last question for you.
Okay.
I sometimes tend to get a headache after wearing my glasses for too long. Is there, and it's not from the prescription, I don't think. I think it's from the heaviness. Is that a thing? Am I crazy?
Totally. Yep. It could be from the heaviness. You mentioned that you need, or you get thinner lenses. So if you're getting, because you said thinner, it could be polycarbonate or it could be high index. Do you know which ones you usually get?
I think it's high index because I think it's pretty bad.
Okay.
And there's, by the way, and they're still thick.
Yeah, they still will be thick, especially on the edges. But
that's how bad my eyesight is.
It's okay. but you could go up to it. You could go to a different number of high index. We can talk about this more. You know, this gets a little bit into the weeds, but to get them to be a little bit thinner, but and then lighter as well. You could also try a polycarbonate, which could go lighter as well. It's just a different material.
It
could also be If it's not the weight, I have this issue that because my head is the widest right here at my temples, I have a really hard time finding a frame that is wide enough for me that doesn't hit the side of my head. So like most of my frames, I actually can't wear. Like this was a godsend to me because I was like, oh my gosh, these fit and these feel amazing because they start squeezing my head almost immediately. Yes. They could also be too tight at the temple ends back here. Sometimes they curve in too much.
Yes.
And these are all adjustments. So you could take your glasses to an optician, anybody, even if you got them online or whatever, but and have sometimes the temples can be adjusted to alleviate some of that pressure. And if they can't adjust that, then it might be time to get a little bit of a wider frame. So looking at the frame width might be important for you.
Okay. All right. Well, how can my audience learn more about specs? How can they, you know, get their order started, get your input if they need it? Tell us everything.
Yeah. So we are at specseyewearinc.com, and that's S-P-E-X, eyewearinc.com. We're also on Instagram and Facebook at same thing, Specs Eyewear Inc. And the, you know, if you already are a glasses buying expert, you can go on. All of the frame sizing is listed. Like we try and make it as easy as possible to hit a couple buttons and have them off to you. But if you want a more personalized experience, or if you need any help trying to figure out how to find your best frame or what prescription you need, blah, 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 that's where I come in and can be a help of you via Zoom calls, phone calls, you know, I am DM, whatever. Like, I'm there for you and want to get you into your perfect pair of specs.
All right. I guess I have one last question for you. Which is your most popular frame?
Obig Stretch has been
Obig
the most
Stretch.
Popular frame. Yeah.
Okay. Now we're all going to go look at it. I have to. I'm the kind of person that when I go online shopping, I'm always like bestsellers, click first. I feel like it narrows things down for me.
Sure. Yeah. I think taking the tag off the New Toy Joy is another bestseller as well. Both of those come in two different sizes. So that's really
helpful.
Which one
is the second one you said?
It's the longest name, I think. Taking the tag off the New Toy Joy. Like when animals, like our cats get really excited when we get new tags or new toys for them. And like, they're just sitting there like waiting, you know, for me to cut all the things off and make sure there's no plastic bits still into it and touching. And they're just like, yeah. So it's that joyful. All of the frames are named after like experiences with our animals.
Yes,
so.
Absolutely. And I love it because you can see, like, you can read those and know that a person wrote this who understands pets. That's how you know that this is truly legit. Well, I just want to propose a toast to you for being my guest, for being so wonderful, for bringing your talents to the pet industry. You could have got anywhere with this, but I'm so happy that you're in the industry with us. Cheers.
Thank you so much. Thank you for everything that you do for pet lovers out there and animals. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. I try. I also want to propose a toast to my executive producer, Mark Winter. Thank you, Mark. Cheers to you and to our audience for joining us for these awesome conversations. I will see you next time. But in the meantime, please make sure you like, subscribe, rate us on any podcasting platform you listen on. Everything that you do to support this podcast gets this out to more people, and it can help businesses like Specs Eyewear, Boost for Paws, get their name out too. So please help us spread the love. Here's to a life covered in pet hair, because there's no better way to live. Cheers.
Cheers.
To learn more about Covered in Pet Hair, please visit coveredinpethair.com or petliferadio.com. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you next time.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.